we got a directory of the church, and we started praying through the faces that we saw there. Now, not all of you had your picture in the directory. So we prayed kind of generally for other people who maybe were new to the church or didn't have their photos in. But I find that when I go through that picture directory and pray for the church, now as I'm getting to know you, I'm finding more and more joy as I'm praying over the things that are happening in your life or things that I've learned about what God's story has been through your life. We are in the middle of a series. We just started last week going through the book of Colossians. And this book is going to kind of talk to us about what it's like to be we as a church, not just me as an individual. The reality is that many times you can even come to church on Sunday mornings and still feel like you don't really connect or that nobody really knows you and that you don't really have a part in what's actually happening, what the church's mission is. And our goal at Kingsway is that we believe we are much better when we are we rather than when we are just a bunch of individuals sitting together listening to one other individual talk, blah, 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 blah. Charlie Brown's teacher, you remember that? Wah, wah, wah. Does it ever sound like that to you? Please say no. Yeah, I know, I understand, I know. You are forgiven if you told the truth, and it hurt my feelings. So, okay. So we believe we are better together. And this book has created in me a kind of an interesting analysis of what it's like to be a church that's planted in an area which desperately needs the gospel of Jesus and people living out the kingdom together. We talked last week about the town of Colossae and this church that got started in that town, and that God, for some reason, there's a lot of towns that had churches started in them, but we don't have record of them. And I ask him, why, God, are there two books in the Bible about this little church in this town of Colossae? And this town of Colossae used to be a big thing, but the railroad went through another town and it started to die off. Well, actually, the Romans built another road and their town started to die off. And so they are a town in decline. And what they don't know that we know from history is just a few years after this letter is written, there's an earthquake that basically wipes out Colossae. It's no longer inhabited after that time. Is it possible that the book of Colossians is a reminder to the church of how important it is to be a light in a place that desperately needs light shining? To be a people of God in a place that desperately needs to know that the God of heaven loves them and cares for them. Is it possible that the book of Colossians is to remind us that we exist here for a purpose so that lost people who we don't know how much time any of us have, we don't know whether Jesus is going to come back tomorrow, next week, next month, but maybe there's a purpose that God has for us to not just be inside our walls as the church, we, but that we would be his people making an influence on a town that desperately needs, and neighborhoods that desperately needs, and friends, family that desperately need to know the God of heaven has provided a way of rescue for us. Amen? That's our purpose as a church. We believe we exist to connect every generation to full commitment in Jesus Christ. And so we are going to be people, not just me and the staff, but we are going to be the people of the church who are going to share the hope of Jesus one life at a time, one story at a time, one act of kindness at a time, because we believe the hope of Jesus needs to be shared. So open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. I want to take you first of all to the very third verse in this, because Paul is going to kind of give a clue about what we're going to talk about today. The theme today is that we pray, and we're going to look at this from a kind of a unique perspective. We've been talking the last series we had, we looked at the Lord's Prayer and looked at how our heart cries are heard by God. This is more a prayer not of an individual for themselves. This is a prayer that's going to be somebody praying this for someone else. So look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. There's our key word throughout this book. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Okay, so two things I want you to notice. Who's the we? Okay, who's we who's talking? Well, verse 1 says it's Paul, the apostle, who had been a person who was rebelling against the church at one point, saw the light of Jesus, the glory of Jesus on his way to Damascus and became a Christian and turned his life around. And what he had been persecuting, now he starts to proclaim. So Paul's there, and Paul says, Timothy, my dear friend. So Timothy is an apprentice of Paul. So there's probably other people, and Paul mentions them in the fourth chapter. But Paul is saying we, as a group of people, are praying together for you, the Colossian church, ever since we heard about you. Now I want you to take verse 9. We're going to start at verse 9, and we're going to go through this prayer. What's fun about this is that the town of Colossae and the people of this church get to hear what Paul's been praying. He actually writes down the things that he's been saying for them. And I think you're going to find out that they sound kind of similar to some of the things we saw in Jesus' model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. It's going to have a focus on God being king and he having a purpose in our lives, and that we would surrender and want his kingdom purposes to happen. And it talks about daily challenges and needs, and that people would be able to live their life in such a way that they would be relying on God for those challenges to be met. So let's look at verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard of you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Okay, did that just sound like wah, 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 wah? Okay, so let's look at this a little bit, okay? Paul is going to open up his heart and tell them the things he's praying. When he says, when we heard about you, and because of the place that you're planted, it's really critical that a faithful church be there. So here's the things we're praying. So two things I just want you to note right away. Number one, Paul says, we never stop. Would you underline that in your Bible or highlight that on your phone or write it down on a piece of paper? Paul says, we never stop praying. And let me start by making the confession. You know, there have been times when somebody will tell me something that's going on in their life, and my first response is, I will be praying for you. I will be praying for you. And I honestly have to say, sometimes I pray once or twice, but then all of a sudden other things in life start happening. Are you like that with me? All of a sudden, other things come up, and I forgot to say, to continue to pray. It's on my prayer list, but all of a sudden, I've got other things that are clouding over that. So I'm asking this question, why would Paul say, I haven't stopped praying for you? Now, I'm going to guess that that statement is a reflection of how deeply he's concerned and connected to the needs of that church. Have you ever had that happen? Somebody's situation in your life, and you've told them that you're going to be praying for them, and you can't get them off your mind. Every morning when you wake up, you lift up a prayer for them. Every time you sit down for a meal to say, thanks God for this food, they're on your mind and you're praying for them. The reason Paul says this is because this situation that he sees and what's happening in that church is really critically important.
And the second thing is, he believes prayer makes a difference. Do you believe that? Do you believe prayer makes a difference? I love the story of a man, George Mueller, lived a century and a half ago. He had a passion for the orphans that were on the streets in Bristol, England. And his dream was to start an orphanage. And there were lots of orphanages trying to find and raise up money for food for the children in their orphanage. And he was a believer who believed God said, I will supply all that you need if you seek first my kingdom. And he did something crazy. He said, I'm going to start an orphanage, and I'm never going to ask people for money. I'm going to see what really happens if we just believe that God says that he's going to hold to his promise, and we're going to pray like God's going to hold to his promise. I want you to look at a quote that he wrote in his diary about the starting of this orphanage. He said, the first and primary object of the work, it was and still is, that God might be magnified by the fact that orphans under my care are provided with all that they need only by prayer and faith, whereby it might be seen that God is faithful still and he hears prayers still. Would you take that challenge? I know some ministries that have taken that challenge, said we will never ask for money, only of God, and we will trust that God will move people to care for our needs. Do you believe prayer makes a difference? George Mueller, if you read his story, his life story about the orphanage, there were days when they had their 70 kids and families, everybody at the table, and there was no food. And they would bow their heads and they prayed. And in the middle of the prayer, there was a knock at the door, and somebody had supplied food for their meal that day. Now, he said there were stories like that over and over and over again, because God hears and answers prayer. Now, here's what I want you to notice about verse 9. Is Paul is convinced that prayer matters. And Paul's concerned about what's at stake for this holy group of people trying to live a godly life in a pagan, probably persecuting world, a world that's giving them a hardship because they're trying to live differently than everybody else. And so Paul's praying, I have not stopped praying. Because he needs it, knows it's important, and he knows prayer makes a difference. So I want you to, first thing, I want you to listen to what he prays for. Verse 9, the last half of that is, we're asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding, or wisdom and understanding that the Holy Spirit gives. Okay, let me just ask this. Paul's asking something really powerful. He believes God has a purpose and a plan for you and I. And that purpose and a plan is a good plan, and that you can actually know it. So I'm gonna ask you a hard question. Do you know what God's plan is for your life? Do you know what that plan is? And would you want to know it if you could know it? Would you want God to let you know what his plan is for your life? Because I want to tell you, the Bible tells you how you can know God's plan. And Paul prays that the Holy Spirit would allow you to be able to know his plan. So let me just address some things that you may think about God's will. Some of you would rather not know God's will because kind of ignorance is bliss. Because if you know it, then you're responsible to try to do something about it, right? Honest. Some of you think, well, if I don't know God's will, then I can't really be held accountable for maybe not matching it. Some of you are afraid that if I knew God's will, he would ask me to do something really crazy, like go to Africa and be a missionary to Africa, right? Have you heard that before? That God's always going to ask you to do something really hard and horrible. And I want you to know, that's not what he's going to do. Some think that God's going to ask you to do something that's not the best thing for you. That you have an idea of what you'd like to do, and you know that this is what I think is great. This is going to be sufficient. This is going to be well-fitting for me. And you're afraid that God's will might be different than your will, and it's going to feel odd. It'll be ill-fitting for you. Now, I want to take you to a passage of Scripture that you probably memorized, and it's going to tell you exactly what God's will for you is like. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It's describing the tension in this congregation. And it says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. You can imagine the Colossian church hearing that. This is written to the Romans, but Colossians are hearing, don't conform to the way the rest of the world is doing things, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Oh, okay, so if I live for Jesus and resist conforming to the world, it's possible for me to know, test, and approve, find out what God's will is. And look at the last part of the verse. What is that will going to be like? It's a good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, I want to say something. I believe many of us are living a Christian life that's based still mostly, the central part of how we base our Christian life is based on our will. We make the decisions of how we want to obey and how far we want to obey God's will. And I want to tell you, that's always going to feel ill-fitting. It'll always feel like something's not quite right because it's not his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And the pleasing part isn't just God's going to be pleased when you obey him. The pleasing part, it's going to feel right for you when you obey him. His will for you is good. Don't be afraid of it. Is pleasing. Don't resist it. And perfect. It's a well fit. Just try it on. And Paul's concern for the church is this. Here's his prayer. His prayer is that they would know God's plan for them. And I just want to ask you, do you want to know God's plan for you? And do you want to know God's plan for this church? What does God want to do through this church to leave an imprint for his glory on our neighborhood and on our city and on the world? Some time ago, I don't know when it happened, but this church made a decision. We're going to make an imprint on the world by sharing generously of our resources and partnering with ministries around the world. And so we give not 10% of our mission money, of our contribution money. We give 20% of our contribution money to support missions around the world because we want, I believe, we want to do God's will and help other people who are wanting to do that. We believe God's going to take care of our needs. It's a little bit like George Mueller. I don't know how we're going to pay for the rest of the stuff, but I'm going to see God do incredible things because we're trying to do his will. Paul's prayer is that they would know God's plan for their life. That's what I pray for you. Look at verse 10 and 11. We pray this. We pray that you'll be able to know God's will in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. So it's once you know his will, then you'd start living that way, living that will out. That you would bear fruit in every good work and grow in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father. So let me kind of expose that a little bit. If you are living and knowing God's will and living it out, I just want to ask you, sometimes that's challenging. It's really easy, honestly, it's really easy to live out our Christian faith, love each other, be patient with each other. It's really easy to do that for an hour on Sunday mornings when we're all together with Christian people. But on Monday morning, or sometimes even on the drive home, sometimes it's just hard to live out what you know God's called you to be. Now, honestly, I don't know why it is, but when we walk out the doors of the church, it's like something has done an erasing of what we just heard, and we forget of how to be able to put that into practice. And if you tried to put it into practice, some of the people around you would say, why are you doing that? You've never done that before. Why do you act that way at work? So Paul says, when you want to live out that faith, he says, here's my second prayer. My prayer is that you would be able to know and live by the power that God gives you. Because Paul says, you can't live the Christian life on your own strength. And I wonder what it would look like if every one of us started living according to his power. Because Paul says, hey, you can live the life. You can be a Christian in your school, your high school. You can be a Christian in your workplace. You can be a Christian in your neighborhood. You can go visit your neighbors who aren't Christians, and you can be a light to them. And I know it's going to be intimidating. I know it's going to be hard, but you're going to have God's power. It says, great and mighty power working within you. That promise is stated in Scripture over and over again. And the Scripture says, when you became a Christian, you received the Holy Spirit to come and live inside you. And most of us live like he's been an afterthought. And Paul says, when you live out your life in Colossae, I want people to see that you're living with an energizer bunny inside you. You're living with some extraordinary extra power. When you're beaten down, you still get back up and you love and graciously forgive. And why do you act that way? Nobody else around here would act that way. And Paul is saying, you need to rely on God's strength. And so Paul's prayer is, I want you to live with God's strength. And before we go into the next part of his prayer, I want to ask you, where in your effort to try to live for Jesus, where are you most in desperate need for God's strength to strengthen you? Where is it that you feel the most pressure to conform? Is it at home? Is that you are most, in public, you're great at being kind to other people, but at home, you're short-tempered, you're critical. Where is it you most need Holy Spirit strength to help you to live out? Is it at work? Is it in the lunchroom or the break room when everybody's telling coarse jokes or making fun of other people? And you kind of feel the pressure to just go on and do that same thing with them. Where is it you say, God, I need strength. I need Holy Spirit strength to live like I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I want you to identify where that is. And today, before we end the service, we're going to pray that you would start to live and find his strength to help you to live out the way, the will of God in those arenas. And let me just suggest one other place. This is when you are utterly alone and nobody else knows you. Maybe you're by yourself someplace. Maybe you're on vacation someplace and nobody else knows that you're a believer in Jesus Christ. And the pressure is just not to stand out. Or the pressure is to do something that nobody else will ever know that you'd do. And in those moments, you feel like your flesh is taking control and your spirit is resisting, but it's weak. Spirit's willing to do the right thing, but the flesh is weak. You can't resist it. So where is the place that you most need God's Holy Spirit power? And today, before we end the service, we're going to ask Paul's prayer to apply to you in that arena. Now, here's the last thing. Paul says in Colossians 1, verses 12 through 13, or 12 through 14. His last part of the prayer is giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued you from, or rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, and in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Paul ends his prayer similar to how the Lord's Prayer ends. To thine be the glory, the power, the kingdom, the glory, and the power forever and ever. Amen. Paul ends his prayer with this confidence of what God's already done to transform their lives and what he yet can do. So here's the third part of the prayer. Paul's prayer is that they would display the God's kingdom in a place that is living by some other kingdom rule. A place similar to our town, I would say, similar to America today. Though America maybe had strong Christian roots years ago, currently, if you'd watch the media, if you'd listen to music, if you look at the news, you would say Christianity is not the driving force of how we do things in America anymore, is it? So living like a Christian in that arena is going to be hard. There's going to be people who say, that stuff is old, it's past. And you say, no, it isn't. It's vibrant and alive, and it's as true today as it was back then. Because you have a rescue story that you can say Jesus is still doing today. He's allowing me to become aware of my sins. He's causing me to recognize I can't fix myself. I need a Savior who will rescue me. And that rescue story doesn't end with you. It leads to the very next thing, which would be you helping to rescue somebody else. And so Paul's prayer is those who have experienced the gospel of Jesus and the grace in their life, that they would put the kingdom of God on display in places of darkness around them. And Paul says, I pray for you to display the kingdom. Live it out. Live it in your workplace. Live it in Colossae. When everybody else is distressed, you talk about the hope that you have and that God will not abandon you. And they ask questions why, and you can tell them about Jesus and what you believe about Jesus. So I want to ask you, will you display that kingdom? Today, I want to give a picture of what that looks like. If you and your family would say there's an area in our life where we say we want the kingdom of God to shine in this area. And I want to introduce to you Kenny Anatolu. Kenny is a member of our church, and he works with a group called Fellowship of Christian Athletes. He has a famed past, but we're not going to talk about that because he has a passion for something else in the future. And his passion is that the kingdom of God would show up in our public schools and junior highs and high schools. And today, I want us as a church to pray with him and for him for the kingdom of God to show up there, for coaches, Christian coaches, for kids, Christian kids, and for non-Christian coaches and kids that would learn to be able to find Jesus Christ. So I just want to, would you take some time and let's visit with Kenny a little bit here. So Kenny, I want to start with what first made you interested in Fellowship of Christian Athletes?
So I would say their message of to and through the coach, kind of resonated with me. I remember as a young athlete, you know, from 10 years old when I really started playing sports, whatever the coach said, I did. Mm-hmm. I respected not so much my parents, but the coach, whatever he said was the truth to me. You know, if it's get up, be at the, on the, at the bus at 6 a.m. in the morning and go run hills, I did it. Had to mow the lawn, maybe not so much. So that was that message that FCA said of to and through the coach resonated with me. I knew a coach's word really meant everything to a young athlete. So if I had the opportunity to disciple a coach and raise him up and grow him spiritually, that would eventually lead to the coaching staff and then ultimately his athlete. So to and through the coach.
Okay, that's great. So what's it? So let's talk a little bit. What's it like to be a Christian coach in the athletic arena and in junior high school arena? What's it like for coaches there?
It's challenging. I would say challenging and stressful. I met with a coach from Northwest this past Friday, and we just talked for about an hour, and we just, you know, just small talk, and he talked about, you know, things that we don't normally see that coaches have to deal with, from having to sweep his own classroom for 4 months straight because administration won't hire anybody to do that, dealing with unique circumstances when it comes to some of the athletes, specifically in the OPS area, single family household, a lot of gang activity in school. I mean, I saw some kids with ankle bracelets on, trying to steer them in the right direction to even – and ultimately, the pressure of trying to turn a program around to win, you know, that stress right there of trying to win and then coming home, getting home at 7 o'clock at night and having your own family to deal with. So just a lot of different issues that they go through every single day. So this specific coach was, he was really stressed out. Okay. So when, you know, my opportunity to go in there and just, you know, disciple him and just fellowship with him is great. That's his stress reliever.
Okay. So how could we as a church pray prayers that maybe God would answer in his life or in other Christian coaches' lives here in our city? What could we do as a church to pray life and strength and courage into them?
I would just say, just specifically for my area, which is what I have a heart for, the inner city, for OPS, just pray for them to be bold every single day. I mean, it's really challenging to be, you know, to not have the support of the board and of even, you know, the whole school. So just to pray for them to be strong in their faith. There's a lot of things going on there. Christians aren't necessarily as accepted as we would like. Other religions have prayer rooms during class, but it's like FCA staff, we actually have to do things after school or before school. So, I mean, they're really facing some challenges. It's not the cool thing to be involved with Christianity or with FCA coming into schools. Okay. So I'd say the prayer is just for them to be strong in their faith and have courage.
Wow. So if you are a junior high or high school student, does any of what Kenny is talking about resonate with you? Yeah, it's hard to live out your faith. If you know what God's will is, and you're determined that in that arena at the school with your peers, you're going to try to live that out. Church family, I want you to look around at the junior high and high school kids that are here. Or think of some that you know attend here but maybe not are here today. And I want you to think of, would you pray for them to know God's will, live by God's power, experience God's power to help them to live out? And then for them to display God's kingdom, live a light-like kingdom there. Because these Christian teachers and coaches, with limitations around them, are still trying to be that kind of light and encourager to other Christian kids. That's the Colossae that we are dealing with. I want to ask you some of the things that that FCA does. What are some things that you're celebrating? You think, man, it's working. God's working in some areas here.
Yeah, so first, initially, you just try to get into the schools. That's challenging enough. Just this past year, I've been with FCA on staff full-time for about a year now, and this past year, last spring, I built some relationships with about 7 different coaches from 3 different schools, and we went from we kind of get in there by giving them an opportunity to learn on how to build the heart of an athlete. So that's how we actually get in the schools. Okay. Then we hope it turns into a personal relationship. Then you go from there and you start discipling. So we have 2 coaches now that I've been what we call that are going to become coaches for Christ and advocates in the schools, and they can start doing things like huddles, which are Bible studies for our athletes on school time.
And the coaches help.
And the coaches help that, right. So just having the opportunity to grow that relationship. You see, you know, you first walk into a building and they see the FCA shirt, and I've seen some coaches literally do a 360 and walk the other way, you know. So it's I'm glad that I'm approachable, and even with the security guys that at the front desk, they walk and we shake hands. They know who I am. They know what I'm here to do. Yeah. And just to have that openness with some of the coaches is great.
That's awesome. Okay, so I'm going to identify any of you who are teachers or have been teachers or coaches in school. Does any of what Kenny's talking about resonate with you? The challenges and yet longing opportunities that you see of trying to be Christ in that school arena, and yet there's obstacles, barriers that are placed around you, and yet your heart is that some of these kids would be able to find Jesus, and Jesus would be able to give order to their life where they're not finding it at home. So, Ken, let me just ask one more thing. As a church family, what could we do to stand with you as you're trying to do this? Kenny does this as a full-time vocation. He has to raise support for his support and ministry there. How could we as a church partner with you?
There's a couple things. I'd say first, prayer is the most important thing. I'm one full-time staff member for 8 different schools and maybe 15 to 20 coaches per school. So that's challenging in itself. I'm driving quite a bit from school to school trying to catch coaches when I can. So that's pretty challenging. So obviously we need financial partners to raise up financial staff to be able to hire more people to come on board. And also our I would say pray for our upcoming legacy dinner. It's October 20th. Coach Osborne, he'll be the keynote speaker. And we just want to fill that room because that's like our Super Bowl event. That's actually how I found out about FCA. And eventually they recruited me into working for them. So that is a really impactful dinner. It's our legacy dinner. And I invite all of you to be part of that if you so wish.
Okay, so let me just, this is a pitch for Kenny. That dinner is coming up. He has some information over here at the table right here. If you or your family think that you might be interested, this might be an arena where you would like to participate, I want to encourage you, check it out, talk to Kenny, check out that dinner. It doesn't cost anything to go to the dinner. They will ask you to consider maybe being a financial partner or a prayer partner or a volunteer or things, but I'd encourage you to try that out. And secondly, I want to say I'm going to be hosting a table there. So I may be asking you, would you go with me? So would you be considering coming and filling my table? And we'll listen to the FCA story here in Omaha. Then thirdly, I want you to know Kingsway Christian Church believes in this and in Kenny, and we support him on a monthly basis. And we would just encourage any of you families who say, man, I'd love to see and help advance this ministry of getting Christ in the schools through Christian coaches influencing their players for Christ. I would encourage you and your family to consider supporting FCA and Kenny through that. He'll talk with you a little bit more about that. Would you join me? There's 3 things we're going to pray. We're going to pray for God to help Kenny to know God's will for him as he's leading and serving this next year. We're going to pray for Kenny to have God's strength to do what God's asking him to do. And then thirdly, we're going to pray for the kingdom of God to show up in the places where Kenny goes, that the kingdom's influence would be able to have power. Would you pray with me?